Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
All right, it's hour number three. Bart and Han, Alan Han, Bart Scott, 98.7 ESPN, leading you into the Michael K. Show coming up at 3 o'clock. 800-919-3776, the number to be part of the conversation. We'll go full buffet here throughout the rest of the show, and plenty more to get into with you, as well as hearing from Steve Javy, who is now the NBA rules analyst and a former longtime NBA official, giving us his thoughts and perspective on what happened last night between the Knicks and the Rockets. But before we get to the calls and everything else, Bart, it is hour number three. It's Bart and Han, so what's that mean?
It's the power hour.
That's impressive. It's the power hour. It's brought to you by
Avocado. It's the sour hour?
No, it's not sour.
Get
power.
Cardio website.
It's all about the power. Brought to you by Avocado Green Mattress. Sleep natural. So I guess Zimmer is getting the job in Dallas.
Yeah. Shefty's like, all right, you want to mess with me?
Yeah.
You want to mess with me, Shane?
So they did, but they did come away impressed. They loved Rex, but not
that,
enough.
That means nothing. I called you.
Not enough to give him
the
job.
They're bringing a guy home that they work with. And, you know, I feel like McCarthy is a guy that is more comfortable around old people. And that's saying, no, what I'm saying is the old school. Like, he hasn't really adopted and wanted, like, these new, young, you know, whippersnappers, right? Kellen Moore was new and young, got him up out of there. You know, he had a guy like Dan Quinn from the old school. Zimmer is like a blast from the past, old school. Remember, that's how he got his job. That's how he got his job. He was there before he went to Minnesota. I believe so. Maybe was he there with Jason Garrett? I think he was. Sometimes I get confused.
Anytime you want to look this
Zimmer
stuff up.
Zimmer was in, trying to think with Zimmer. No, yeah, that's right. Was he with the Bengals? I have to look it up. But I know that he was there. I know he was in Dallas before, though.
Gotcha. Okay.
He was in Dallas from 1994 to 2006.
Perfect, yeah.
Then the Falcons, then the Bengals, then the Vikings head coach.
Right. He was in Dallas before.
And he did go to the Bengals for – I knew he went to Bengals for a little switch hit. But I know that he did have ties there. So, you know, that's Jerry Jones working with somebody that he's familiar with.
Okay. He's familiar with Rex. Old school guy. He loved Rex.
Yeah, but he don't know him. He didn't work for him. Okay. Zimmer was in the family.
Well, Rob was there with family. No.
Just because you date my brother don't mean we family.
Gotcha. Fair enough.
He was also a consultant for Jackson State in 2022 and Colorado in 2023.
Ooh. Wait. Remind me again. Who coached at Jackson State and then went to Colorado? Who's that?
Oh, so we're thinking that Deion's going to come back and coach the Cowboys if McCarthy fails, and they're going to draft Shedeur Sanders, and they're going to trade Dak Prescott.
See, now we're talking. You want a conspiracy theory? That's what I'm bringing to you right now. I like that. That this year blows up.
Come on. When did you become Kirk Cousins?
And then you bring in Deion Sanders to coach the Cowboys. And then you draft Shedeur.
When did you become Kirk Cousins?
You don't think that would be incredibly dramatic?
You like that?
I like that. You don't like that?
Yeah, that'd be dope.
Yeah. You could tell that they're kind of already like wondering, is it really worth investing in Dak Prescott? You can definitely
But they're going to end up doing. They say they plan on having one done before free agency starts.
Well, they have to have something done. They need something, right? They need to take care of that going into next season. But I'm curious to see what kind of outs it has and all that other stuff. So all right. So, anyways, you're stuck with me then, right? No golden parachute for you.
Well, my boy did go to Miami.
Who's your boy?
Anthony Weaver.
Oh boy, and?
No, he's my teammate and my coach.
Right.
We came in together, 2002.
So what are you telling me? Conversations? I mean, Miami is a place I think you could probably stand living there. I don't think it would bother you that much.
Yeah, no state taxes.
Right. You like that. Just like Kirk Cousins said. All right. 800-919-3776. Barry is in New York. What's up, Barry?
Hey, how you guys doing, man?
All right.
First and foremost, I'm a first-time caller. A long-time listener. Han, I appreciate you and Bud, but Han, I really appreciate you more because, man, to deal with Bud, man, that's a stretch. You know what I'm saying? But I love both you guys, man. I love how you guys interact with one another.
Barry, do you grab the ass? Barry, do you grab the ass?
Every day's an education.
Kiss, are you grabbing
every
the ass?
Every day's an education, Barry.
Because I need to know what side you're on. I need to figure out if I'm offended or not.
You see what I'm saying?
You're a guy that don't grab the ass out in public, I don't care if you care about Han more than me.
You see what I'm saying, Han? Takes a lot, bro. But I just want to talk about Tiz for a minute, you know?
All right.
I love Tiz. I'm a Chicago guy. Mm-hmm. You know, and I've seen how he did it, but Tibbs is one of those kind of coaches. He's a hell of a coach, don't get me wrong. Mm-hmm. But I just think he overworks his guy. I know one time I was trying to call in that Han was talking about, you know, he had to play players longer, but when you're up by 18 with 3 or 4 minutes left, man, you got to trust the bench.
Yeah.
You know, it's a long treatment.
It's
a long treatment, man. And, you know, these guys, bro, look at these guys. They're getting, like, ankle injuries. That's stress. That's fatigue on the leg.
Well, the hamstring for DiVincenzo clearly is. He's been playing 40 minutes, almost 40 minutes a night, and that is definitely stress. That was stress-related, and you're just hoping that he didn't pull or pop something, that it was just starting to – maybe it was cramping or something. Like, we haven't heard anything yet, but you're right, Barry. And there are times we just, like, sit there looking at the clock going, is he going to take him out? Is he going to take him out? And he'll always tell you he's always about the win, and I'm getting tonight's win. I can't worry about tomorrow. But when you are as banged up as they are and they have nothing coming off, they have very few pieces coming off their bench, you're kind of stuck to having to play these guys a heavy, heavy load of minutes. That's why this All-Star break is so critical right now. They got to get a break. They got to get a rest. They got one more game against Orlando. And there's got to be a part of you that thinks, you know what, you cannot worry about winning that game. You can't.
Exactly.
You got to worry about just being healthy.
Being healthy, look at the big picture. What's the big picture? Right?
Yeah.
Qualifying, trying to go as far as you can in the playoffs.
That's true.
I mean, you can sacrifice a few losses to, you know, get these guys some rest. Because what happened to Golden State back in the day?
You know what's
like
funny,
they're trying to flip the Bulls. And then I think Steve Kerr said that after the season, he would have gave these guys a little bit more rest and not worry about that record.
Yeah, well,
right?
That's true. Right. The 73-win team. You're absolutely right. Is that he does regret not resting, but they were going for the record. That's a great point to bring up,
right,
Barry. Thanks again for the call. And you know, honestly, like you're losing games now, but you want to be healthy so that when it matters, when the winning part matters. And this is the problem, Bart. Like, look what we're doing here. We're talking about resting players now, aren't we?
Mm-hmm.
The Knicks are one team that doesn't have the mentality of rest and sit out and, you know, load managing and all that stuff. They're the one team that if you ask the guys, Randall is a guy that never wants to sit. Brunson, no way. Never wants to sit. DiVincenzo, never wants – you ask them. When you're around the team, you ask these guys that stuff because of that thing with Tibbs that comes up. And you say to them, the only guy that brings up the minutes is Hart. He'll always make jokes about playing too much, but I don't know how serious he is about it because he also complains about not playing enough. But they want to play. That's who they are. That's their mentality. And so now it's almost like you've got to save them from themselves, guys. Like, I get it, but look around you. Guys are getting hurt. There's not enough bodies right now for everybody to get through what actually right now should have been a part of the schedule where they really could have stacked up a lot of wins. And so they just got to get healthy. But they can't afford to get guys back while losing others. You dodged a bullet with Brunson. He missed one game, and that's it.
You also have to ask yourself, like you said, like you're trying to win the battle or the war. And you got to open up your rotation. If you're going to play these guys, you got to open up your rotation, give other guys to say, if we're going to win, it's going to be because you guys give us good minutes. But I'm not going to run my horses to the ground.
800-919-3776. We got Artie in Long Island. What's up, Artie?
How you guys doing? Alan Hahn, big fan. Love the show. Boss Scott, love the show. Can't wait all the time. And guess what? I'm like one of those crazed Knicks fans, crazed Giants fans, but – watching that Knicks game last night just drove me crazy. I couldn't believe what I was watching. I saw the foul. I got a hand grip, but working out my hands. And I tossed that thing to the floor, bounced up, and broke my TV. I'm telling you, I got to go get a whole new TV right now. I'm so pissed off.
Oh my God!
Just watching the, I'm watching.
Jason Goebel cost you a TV.
All right, you know.
It cost me a TV. Got to go get a whole new TV right now.
Well, you know, if you have renter's insurance, you can put a claim in, man, and just get a better TV.
Hey, I'm going to get a better TV, that's for sure.
Hell yeah.
But I'm going to tell you this, man. My expectations for the Knicks must be really high for me to even be that mad. That's what I'm saying. I really expect greatness these days. And for them to get robbed like that last night was so foul for a whole Knicks nation. I'm not going to say the gambling stuff and all of that, but I'm really going to say that it was a really, really bad call. And I'm still expecting them to be great no matter all this craziness. I'm going to say one more thing. I'm going to squeeze this in and see what you guys got to think about it. With this Super Bowl, this Andy Reid and Travis Kelce thing, I saw them bench pretty much Kadarius Toney since he made that dumb play in that game.
Yep.
But then Travis Kelce gets to get these tantrums on the sidelines and nobody's saying anything. Right. So it's almost like favoritism almost. Like,
Of course, yes.
I favor an all-time great over a guy that hasn't figured it out.
Sure.
Helped
you win 3 championships. Yeah, man, like that. Listen, Brian Billick, you say this all the time. I'll treat all you guys fairly, none of you the same. Mm-hmm. Like, you think certain guys get away with what Ed Reed and Ray Lewis got away with?
Right.
Hell no.
Right.
Listen, you know, production breeds tolerance.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, hold up. Let's take it to regular stuff. You got a girl. She all right. She a solid 6. She don't start cooking for you, and then, you know, she following her ex-boyfriend on. You gonna oust her. But you got that solid 10/11. She don't do nothing. She fine as hell, man. She give you some of the best loving you ever had in your life. Yeah, you gonna work with her. We can work through this, baby. You know what I'm saying?
You don't cook.
We gonna get pre-made meals. Don't even worry about it. We gonna buy it. We'll work around there.
DoorDash.
Now, that's a fact. I respect that. And guess what? I'm still looking forward to my Knicks doing some things this year. But I just have to share my testimony with y'all because it was just crazy for me last night.
Even if they don't get top 4, do you have any concerns that they can't beat anybody?
That, you know what, you're right.
Outside of Boston, so like, what are you talking about?
I love what Artie said, is that you still have that anticipation about them. And why are we mad? Why are you mad as a fan base? Is you're mad because you really do think something good can happen this year, right? Like, because normally it's like apathetic. It's like, who cares? Like, you know, things like that happen. You're like, whatever. But this is more of they could do something. And you don't want little moments like this to cost you what could be a better position, could be 3rd or 2nd. You know, the Cavs lost last night, finally, to the Sixers. Like, you get a win, and you're, like, climbing. Like, you're getting closer to them at 2nd.
That was close, too, man.
Yeah.
That was close.
Yeah, and remember, the Sixers
did it. That last shot by Garland, man. That was close.
Yeah, he just missed it. AJ in Georgia. AJ.
Hey, Alan, Bart, what's going on? What's good? How you guys doing?
What's happening, AJ?
Not much. I just have a concern when it comes to Deuce McBride. So now, Alec Burks is back, and you remember he played point guard when we had Alfred Payton. Mm-hmm. Granted, I get it. My thing is, and my concern is, Bart, is how do you expect Deuce McBride to get better if you don't trust him? You know, he's young, and he has a lot to learn, but I just feel Tibbs needs to trust him a little bit more. He's going to get better if you trust him. And I believe since Quickley's been gone, you know, he's proved that he can, you know, he shoot. To me, I think he's a better shooter than Grimes. Some people may think I'm crazy, but I like his confidence. I like his confidence, and he's not afraid to shoot. And I don't think you're crazy.
Here's the thing, AJ. I'll explain it from, like, what I've seen and what I've heard, is that for Deuce, he's a really, really good – like, he's really proven himself to be a good shooter. He's worked on that. What quickly developed into was somebody that can get an offense going because he was in attack mode. And so he could – now, he's not necessarily like a traditional point guard who can run an offense, but he was an offense unto himself. And the more he got himself going, the more the offense got on track, because if the defense focuses on him, then he can dish and other people can cook, right? Deuce isn't as good at that. Like, he isn't as adept. He's really good catch and shoot three. He's gotten really good at that. He can at times, you know, put pressure on you defensively, but he doesn't really get you organized. He doesn't really have a high-end offensive, you know, a bag, basically, right? And Burks can handle the basketball. Now, I'm with you. I think Burks dribbles the ball a little too much. There's a lot of hesitation. It can slow you down. And he didn't shoot the ball well last night. He had an unbelievable fourth quarter in the previous game against the Pacers where he had 15 of his 22 points. But last night in Houston, he couldn't make a shot. And so, therefore, it looks bad. But, you know, trust is a big thing with Tom Thibodeau. And he trusts veterans. He trusts experience. And they're also trying to get Burks acclimated with things and the way they want to, you know, want him to run, what they want him to do in his role. So there's a little period right now where they're trying to get acclimated to that kind of stuff before the All-Star break. But, yeah, I mean, they love Deuce, but he did only play 6 minutes last night. And, again, they're shorthanded, and he only played 6 minutes last night. So who knows? But it's the truth with this coach. He wants veterans, and when they get to the playoffs, you know it's a shortened rotation, and mostly veteran players are going to play. That's just reality. 800-919-3776. So here's some of Steve Javy from our conversation with him earlier. Again, Steve Javy is our ESPN rules analyst, but over 25 years experience as one of the top NBA officials for many years through the 90s and into the early 2000s. And so here's, you know, him just talking about what happened last night. And I asked him, or Bart and I were both talking to him, is the call alone, when that happens, like, do you consider the situation, which is the score is tied, and it's not like, are you looking to make the call just to make the call? Or do you not make the call because you know I'm not impacting the game, let's get to overtime?
If you see a foul that's obvious, a guy gets hit on the arm, you got to call it. There's no doubt. The time that you don't want to put air in the whistle is when you go, is it or isn't it? Where sometimes during a game you put air in the whistle with 10 minutes left because I think that's a foul. And, you know, that's when you can get in trouble. That's when you obviously miss calls. And that's, unfortunately, there are times in games where you use your judgment and your experience and say that, you know, hey, that's, you know, that could be a foul by the way the ball went up or down. You really didn't see it. You've got to see it for sure and know that it is a foul at that time of game, especially, like I said, in a tie ball game. Because if that was a foul and it wasn't called, you still had 5 minutes left.
Yes.
Where the team can now win. One team is going to win the game or lose the game. Will they bring that play up at the end of the game? Yes. But at least both teams have a chance now to win the game at 5 minutes left in overtime.
And Bart, I love that answer because it's the one you want to hear. Like, whether or not technically it was a foul, it's a situation like that. You don't call it because it's the score is tied. Let the players go into overtime and figure it out. I don't even think, if they don't blow a whistle there, does Udoka challenge it?
Nah.
Does Udoka flip out? Or does he go, let's draw up a play, let's go? Like, that was a chuck and duck 40-footer. All right, we ain't getting that. Let's go.
40-footer. Right.
Yeah. Right. Like, so as a player, you don't want that whistle blown.
You know, like what that, because he shot it one hand, what that was equivalent to, and I know it hit the rim. You know, like in the games, like where guys kind of run, like they're underneath there on their side of the basket, but they kind of run across in a half circle and then they get it and they catch it on a run and they just throw it up there.
Yeah.
That's what it was equivalent to. Now, just imagine if they called a foul on somebody that kind of touched him around his stomach. Like when he was running by, he puts his arm on, throws it up.
Those.
It's like,
I've seen
like,
those.
You're like, hold up, Man, hold up. It's a 40-foot shot. Yeah. What the hell are we talking about,
Why are you even blowing that whistle? You know what it also feels like, too? Do you know when they call like an offensive they call a pass interference, then they pick the flag up because the pass was not catchable?
Not catchable.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah, well, you weren't getting that. It's like that.
But yeah, we ain't bailing you out.
Like that's down. You're not making it. Like, come on. Like, that's not. If it goes in, great. But I ain't giving you the foul on a chuck. Like, come on. We all know what you were doing there. You just threw it up in the air. And that's, I think, why I love that he answered it that way. Because he lets you know, a lot of times if you aren't certain, you don't blow the whistle. What do you call it? You don't put air in the whistle, which I love that. Such a great phrase, perfect way to put it.
Air in the whistle.
Like, imagine if you had the whistle and you just, like, breathed out And it made a noise.
The you was running, you, was running you had it in your mouth. Like, damn, now I got to call someone.
Yeah, and sometimes, like I said, like he said, sometimes for the referee, it is simply a mistake.
What happens is you have a loss, a momentary loss of concentration, because you really you have to know the situation. You know it's a tie ball game. You see the ball, the clock running down, the ball gets thrown out, and you know you have that feeling in desperation time because it's a second left, and you can't really guess on the play. You can't have a doubt on the play because what's the worst case scenario? You go to overtime, mm-hmm. and the guys decide it. And that's the thing. But what happens every once in a while, you get that brain cramp and you get that loss of concentration. That's exactly what happened.
And that moment after the game, they get together. They're watching the video back because they're trying to check the time. And you know they looked. And you know it. And Steve tells us this, that they all were like, oh, crap, that should not be called. But they can't change it. And here's the thing. The Knicks couldn't challenge because they lost their challenge from earlier in the game. Tom Thibodeau had challenged something that definitely looked like it should have been overturned. And I believe it was a charging call against Taj Gibson where he was in the they say he moved slightly and therefore they wouldn't give him the offensive foul. They challenged what was called a blocking foul. And it was like, I mean, we're talking about a slight movement. And they said, no, that was an offensive foul. And because they didn't give the Knicks the challenge or didn't reward them, they lost one. They don't get another one back. So it goes back to even that call that you could have said, you know, that was a wrong call too, right? So you lose your challenge. Mm-hmm. You don't have a challenge. And now you can't use it when you really needed it, which was in that moment. Because if you would have challenged it, as Ed Molloy said in his statement afterwards, it was minimal incidental contact that had no effect on the shooter who landed in his normal landing position. So that's what's frustrating as well. Is you could, if he had his challenge, he could have challenged it, and the Knicks could have gone to overtime with a chance to win the game. But because that challenge was taken from them, because they were not granted, it was an unsuccessful challenge, we're in the situation we're in.
It was pivotal, man. Pivotal loss, man.
Oh,
like
my God.
Tough. You need you, at this Never point, mind you all need that. To just kind of yeah. get a couple, and you know, you don't want to fall too far behind. I believe before Brunson got hurt, right, they were like two behind, like second place.
Yeah,
so
oh, yeah.
Like two behind.
No, they were right there, right behind second place, very close. They still are in the top four, but you know, only because, you know, other teams are losing too. But you still
– worry about the ones coming behind you catching up.
Well, and that is, you know, the Sixers getting that win. They're a half game back of you now. That's a big win for them. And you are playing Orlando, and Orlando is a little further behind you. So are the
Pacers.
That's
a thorn in your ass, though.
Yes, but you want to keep them far behind you, and you don't want to fall out. You know, you fell actually behind the Bucks. You were third, and you were right behind the Cavs. But these losses now have pushed you down two games back a third, where for a while there, last week, you were sitting in third. Maybe, what was it, a half game out of second. So this is what's happening. That's what losing streaks do. Three-game losing streak, one more game to go before the All-Star break. Now, another question that a lot of people were asking about when it comes to this is referee accountability. And how come these refs aren't held accountable and they need to be held accountable? Steve Javy explained how they are and why where it hits the referees the most is in their pocket. Stay tuned for that. Stay with us. Barton Hahn, 98.7 ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network. Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good!
playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and tequila season.
Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
A little more on this Knicks Rockets thing. We had Steve Javy on last first hour. And this is something that a lot of fans wonder about officials. And I think in all leagues, umpires too, all this stuff. Where it's you want your pound of flesh when you're the team that lost because of a bad call. You want that, you call it the accountability. And what you just heard it. The players afterwards, Tom Thibodeau afterwards, won't answer the questions because they know if they're critical of officials, they get fined. And it's hefty. It's 25, in some cases 40 or 50. You know, you don't want to do that. So they say nothing. So you can't even like have that pound of flesh where you get it out of your system and call them out. Sometimes they do because they're willing to pay the fine because it's worth it. Like Anthony Edwards did that recently, right?
Yeah, the practice. And you just know the fine's coming. Once in a while you do it, yeah.
You just got to send a message. But the Knicks wouldn't do it after the game, refused to do it. So now you're waiting for the league isn't going to call them out, right? Ed Molloy did with a statement saying, yeah, we screwed up. I mean, that's one way to do it right away. He's like, yeah, we missed that call. And it ain't no we because Ed Molloy's not French. He's right. Talking about one guy on the staff, but it's a we because it's all right, this is our officiating crew, so we take the hit as a crew, but
yeah, but he acted on his own.
Yes, and clearly did. So here's Javy talking about Ed Molloy admitting that there was the wrong call right after the game.
I think it just definitely lends credibility that, you know, hey, this is what happened. We're honest with it. We'll own up to the mistakes. Believe me, when Ed was looking at it at the table at the time of the game, he knew there was no foul on the play too. So he had that time of like the last couple, you know, free throws and so on and so forth. And he's walking to the locker room and he knows who he's going to say right away. They probably didn't even have to look at it again in the locker room because replay center gives you every angle of the play. Believe me, they were trying to find contact, and they couldn't. So, If he ever came out and said, well, you saw the right foot, it tipped over, that's the, come on. You know, so all credibility's lost. Nobody's going to believe you. Because believe me, you try to defend yourself as much as possible because you know the hits are going to keep coming at you. Mm. But you know what? He did the right thing. He lent credibility to it. And it's like, okay, we messed up. Let's go on and we'll try to get it right the next time.
So right away you're embarrassed. Right away you know we screwed up. Right away we're in trouble. Right? He says that. But all right, so fans still want the pound of flesh. Where's the accountability? Put him in front of the people. Like, you know, referees have to go through the pool reporter, and it's usually the crew chief. So again, the guy who made the mistake, Jason Goble, he's not dealing with any of that kind of accountability publicly where he has to sit there and take questions and answer them and all that stuff like a player would when the player screwed up or a coach screwed up, right? Like, he's not dealing with that.
Right.
But there's another way that the league handles this. And Javy explained why. Referees, they desperately want to get calls right because it affects them in the pocket.
It doesn't matter to us whether it's a finals game, it's a Knicks-Houston regular season game, LeBron. It really doesn't matter. I mean, we're trying the best we possibly can to get every play right. And the reason being is this. It affects our careers. It affects our pocketbook because the referees get evaluated every play, just about, well, nowadays, every possession. There's people, you know, the next day looking at the game, every possession, and they get graded. And those grades go towards a system of rating the referees. So when it gets to the end of the season, who's now in line to do the playoffs? And when that happens, that's extra money. It's just like a salesman. You know, he gets a bonus for selling so much. Well, referees get a bonus for each round of the playoffs they're in.
And Goble has done some NBA playoff games and since 2021. So only recently is he starting to get playoff games. And last year had a big mistake and a non-call with LeBron. This year it's this thing now that's getting a lot of attention. And, you know, that doesn't bode well for him. Bart, you think that's enough? You think that's enough? Or do we need to have more of public accountability when it comes to bad calls? Because I don't know if anybody want a referee if I got to sit at a podium now after a game and take questions and be on camera and be publicly ridiculed for a mistake I made.
I mean, it's the cost of doing business, because then you don't want people swallowing their whistle and not calling calls when it clearly was a foul. So it can go the other way too. And you're like, man, yo, like just imagine like the referee that didn't call the foul on the Saints and the Rams.
Yep.
When he hit him like 5 minutes before the ball even got there. Like, yo, bro, like you. So you don't want to be that, because then now you got to – Now you're saying, well, I let him play.
Yeah, players
so,
play. Yeah.
So sometimes you just got to understand it is a bit of a human element to it. It's only very few times that we have this scenario pop up. Now, unfortunately, it's popped up 2 years in a row with the same guy.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they have to figure it out. And you heard Javi say, hey, you know, I did it twice in 1 week and mm-hmm. I got the message. And I think now, like, people are going to – last year people would, you know, it was kind of – nobody really kind of – talked about it much, you know what I mean? When Beverly was taking the camera from the Lakers and he got the
tech.
Yeah, he got that's the hilarious. Tech too.
Here's how bad you are. Look at this photo.
Yeah, exactly. And like refs, like they don't even look at the replays. They don't do that on purpose, right? So, you know, I think when you look at it now, that's about all you can do is make sure that he's not in any of the big games and he has to work his way up. And he'll make sure he gets it right. It's not about making a call because you need to make a call. It's being able to be a little slow. And sometimes maybe he'll let other people make that call. Even if it's his call or not, he'll make sure that it's a subjective way where you hope that the coaches can challenge it. That's what you hope. You hope in these tough calls that you make that they have a challenge. They didn't have a challenge left. And that's kind of
– Should they have a challenge in the last minute?
I think he blew the whistle, maybe not knowing that they don't have a challenge, knowing that if it's wrong
– Well, he can't be thinking about that. Right?
I mean, but when you know both teams
whistle,
got a challenge,
you gotta be like, you gotta know like what I'm seeing. I know what I'm seeing. That's what Javi said to us. Like, it has to be no doubt in my mind. You can't be I think there is. Let me blow the whistle first. Like, you can't do that. You see it or you don't.
The crazy thing is, Holiday didn't even fall.
I know.
Or like, he didn't even complain. He didn't even say anything.
Nothing.
He didn't even do no body language. He knew it was a BS like shot, and he was just trying to get lucky.
Yeah.
He like, damn. Like, oh, I got a foul on that.
Yeah. Like I said, that wasn't the only thing. Like, again, that ended the game.
But that's the one that we remember
foul
because
disparity,
that ended the game.
Of course, yeah, that brought all the attention. But the disparity in fouls, 32, it was 33 to 12, a 21 free throw difference between the two teams, and both teams get to the line historically. Like, that's what they are this season. Both of them actually coincidentally tied for 11th in the league in free throw attempts. So it's not like one is just they always get to the line. This team doesn't. These are two teams that get in the paint and they do take contact and they get to the free throw line. It's just one got the calls, one didn't, and that creates that question of imbalance and why. It was something that Javi couldn't answer. He said, you just can't. Like, it's, you can't go back and watch every single foul and wonder if they were the right call. But you know what else comes into play, Bart? And the NFL's got to deal with this too. Gambling.
Mm-hmm.
Because that has now become part of the world again, where – you people are going to wonder, and I don't assume this at all. Like, oh, he had money on the game. Oh, Tim Donaghy. Like, this, stop. I don't put anything into that. I don't put any credence into it, but it doesn't mean that it's a conversation. It is something people will say that you as a league don't want. You don't want that. You don't want people wondering, well, wait a minute. How come the spread went from, you know, Rockets plus 4.5 to Rockets minus 1.5 within like an hour?
Yeah, it's like, what do we know? Like, what do we know?
Like, why did that happen? Why did all of a sudden we slide this thing and now all of a sudden you got a tie game and let's put them on the free throw line? Even though I can't imagine that entered the mind. I don't believe it entered the mind. But people will use that as evidence, and it just creates more of that distrust from your fan base. Can't have it.
I mean, I forget who it was, Sean McVay or something. Yeah, he was losing the game, and he kicked the field goal. I was like, bro, like, you had no chance of winning.
Oh, that whole thing?
The hell, yeah. You kicked a field goal?
The cover, yeah.
Like, come on, man. Like, hold up.
That stuff comes up when you definitely knew what the spread was. John is in Jersey. John, what's up?
Hi, how you doing? Thanks for taking my call. I have a question about a point about last night's call. They went to the replay to see when the foul occurred,
yes,
in accordance to the clock hitting zero or not.
How much time was left, right?
If they didn't see a foul, how did they figure out when it occurred?
Well, it's when the whistle's blown. When the whistle's blown.
But there was no foul, they said. They really didn't see a foul.
Yeah, but he blew the whistle, and that stops the clock, right?
So
when the official puts his hand up on the whistle, so he makes a fist and he puts it above his head, that's the official stoppage of the clock when he does that. Usually that's what signals it, is that he blew the whistle, he called the foul, and that's when the foul, they believe, was occurred. But you're right. They have to he can't change the call. You know what I mean? They can't do that by rule, even though, like Javi told us, they were watching that back and they're going, there's really no foul here. There's no foul. But they can't say that. Now, if there was a challenge, if the Knicks had a challenge and challenged it, then they could watch it back and go, yeah, there's no foul here, right? Or minimal contact that doesn't disrupt, so we can't call it. But because there was contact, and while everybody wants to say he never hit him, he does hit him, they hit each other. So there is contact, and that's where they'll call the, that's where they'll stop the clock on the time, but it doesn't mean that it was enough contact to call a foul. And then we go back to, of course, the situation, which is, as a referee, you're not calling that on a chuck and duck. So it's a good question to ask, John. Like, all right, well, when do they stop? It's when he calls the foul and when they have contact, even though the contact they deemed not enough to call a foul. They can't take that off the board. It's not like in the NFL where they can pick up the flag. The NFL, you can do that. You can pick up the flag in the NFL. You can't do that in the NBA. Unless the other official has, like, no, we reverse the call, and then let's go review it, whether it's, you know, the charge or any of that stuff. There are reviewable things. But one thing that is not is a personal foul in that situation. It's not reviewable. You can challenge it. The problem is, Knicks didn't have their challenge. All right, we'll finish up with calls, 800-919-3776. Some other thoughts as well before we hand it off to the K Show.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day. But sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.
Oh, heard him, Hammer.
Here comes the hammer. This is a mission that I'm on.
Hey, Bart, did you... we haven't talked Tiger Woods in a while. Did you see what he just did?
What, did he make $1 billion again?
Well, no, remember? So he and Nike parted ways a couple of weeks ago.
Did he go New Balance?
No. Oh. He created his own brand. Did you hear about this? It's called Sunday Red.
Nobody buying it.
You don't think so?
No, I'm just playing.
It's with TaylorMade, the golf company.
Okay. So TaylorMade's a brand name, so that's fine because they'll make all his stuff in store.
Right.
He's a
subdivision.
So, yeah, he'll make it. He's going to be selling equipment. He'll probably make his money on equipment because ain't nobody going to buy
gear.
Some Tiger Woods. Yeah,
it's
clubs.
It's hoodies and clothes. It's hoodies, polos, outerwear, hats.
Yeah. But he probably owns more of the profits, so he'll make just as much money.
Oh, no, this is all his. Yeah, TaylorMade is basically saying, like, it's under their umbrella, but he'll have his own headquarters and factory. Like, it's all.
It's like Jordan.
It's on his own.
Like Jordan Brand.
Tellerman
got to get something. Like, what do you mean? We ain't about to sit up here, make your stuff, do all that stuff, and we ain't making nothing.
You're right. It's like Nike and Jordan. They said it's going to have its own business unit, own headquarters, designers, and staff.
Right. So Jordan only gets, what, How much did Jordan? No, what I'm saying is, I mean, a small percentage of a lot of money is still a large number.
What they said was it's a full-blown, unequivocal partnership, but there's no influence from TaylorMade on the brand. The brand stands alone. It'll have its own identity. Again, it's called Sunday Red, well, that's and obviously smart. That's what he wore on Sundays.
Well, that's smart because you don't want the same designers from both places because it's going to have some of the same influence, right? You know,
golf shoes. So there'll be it's going to be some. Well, TaylorMade just makes the clubs, right? I don't think TaylorMade makes anything.
I mean, TaylorMade's got. I guarantee you they have gear too. Like, yeah, there's no way. Yeah,
maybe this is their way of kind of getting a more of an impact on the gear, right?
Well, it's taking a brand name, a $1 billion brand, and hoping that, you know, Taylor, that even to date, you know, Tiger name is still probably the biggest name in golf.
Oh yes,
right. And even though he hasn't won it in a long time, and he's doesn't not matter. The number one golfer. He's still the brand. People know it's like McDonald's for a long time still hasn't been the best hamburger place to go to. People rather go to Shake Shack. I'd rather have White Castle. And actually, one a big brand I didn't know was big until you start traveling, Burger King.
What do you mean?
It's crazy.
How did you not know? Have it your way.
I didn't realize it was that big outside of the States. Like, because you go to some of these Caribbean countries and stuff, McDonald's there, but Burger King is everywhere. It's no Wendy's. It's none of that type of stuff. And KFC is like the number one restaurant. If you go, you will not find a Popeye's chicken in St. Bart's, St. Martin's, like Turks and Caicos. Man, KFC is king around that piece. And I swear to God, I'm not trying to be funny.
You're going to find Popeye's at St. Han, I'll tell you that.
No, I'm telling you. Like, I swear to God, I went into a KFC because I wanted to see. I think they got 37 spices. I think the Caribbean islands added their own 20. But they're like, all right, Colonel, you got it right with 7, but we're going to add 36 more that you ain't think of because we know how to cook around
here. They don't let them know. They don't even tell them.
Jake, am I lying? I'm telling you, KFC line be out the – like, they selling crack, man. They got 87.
Yo, listen, anytime I go to the Caribbean and I get home-cooked food from, like, my family, I go KFC every time.
Yes, just, and it tastes so much different. Like, I would not touch KFC clone chicken in the States.
So what they do they like do? So KFC there, sends, like, all this stuff ahead of time, and they send you the seasoning package. They just chuck that, and they put their own seasoning in? Is that what you're telling me?
They're like, it's missing cumin and tummy and tummy. Like, hold up, dog. Bro, I'm telling you, because, like, you go to McDonald's, like, they got different menus in different countries. Like, in Germany, you can get, like, sausage in McDonald's.
Royale, you know, with cheese.
Yeah, so you go to the Caribbean countries, man. It's like 75 spices, man. I'm like, hold up, man. Why the chicken don't taste like this?
We
altered it a little.
It's like in the garbage is a whole bunch of seasoning packets that were sent from wherever in the U.S. that they send all the stuff from, right? All the KFC franchising stuff. Yeah, we're not using this.
Yeah, they like, no.
We'll season it on our own. That's fine.
Don't worry. Like, listen.
How did we get on this, by the way? What were you doing? Oh, that's right. Tiger Woods. The Nike stuff, though, had it like, when he, like, you know, golf clothing was never stylish until Tiger Woods came around, and now everybody wanted to wear it because it looked cool.
Main
thing about whatever he's going to do with Sunday Red is it's got to look cool.
The coolest thing that Tiger did was bring black people to the golf course, because black people, one thing they're going to do, they're going to coordinate on the damn golf course.
You're going to look good.
So that gave you a market to the consumers that spent over $1 trillion in buying power.
Amazing, isn't it?
Because they don't save nothing. They spend everything.
And which was what Nike does. And now it's not. But Tiger should have enough, I think, of enough of an influence where people will probably follow. So
carry
we'll see
over,
how it goes. But good luck to him.
All right, Bart. It won't be successful as Nike, but it'd be successful.
The K Show is coming up next, Bart, and I'll see you tomorrow.
Peace. Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Show podcast. Listen live weekdays at noon on 98.7 ESPN.